So let's talk about missions. Who's excited about missions? Try that again. Who's excited about missions? All right, there we go. That's a lot better. That's a lot better. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, my first topic here is going to be why missions matter. I want to show you this picture. Missions matter because, well, at the end of the day, we get an awesome adventure. Look at it closely. Look, look at it closely. I knew the response was going to be a little weak, but look at it. Where are the stairs at, guys? Where are the stairs at? On the window. So that's why missions matter, because we get an incredible adventure at the end of the trip, or maybe at the beginning of the trip, right? For those of you that have been on a mission trip, do you like the adventure? Yeah, that's the only reason we do missions here, right? No. But yeah, I love that photo. Actually, Justin sent that to me, Justin Kimmich. And it is so true, because as we're building these homes, we are so excited. We're done at the end of 3 days. We get to have fun, but we've got to make sure we built everything right. So missions matter. Missions matter because, A, Jesus commands us to go. Jesus commands us to go. Matthew 28:18-20 says, "Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Jesus commands us to go. That's pretty clear, right? Can you guys see that in any other way? Jesus commands us to go on missions. Now, I'm going to break that down a little bit. I'm going to get into a little bit more detail, because not everybody is necessarily called to go abroad. But Jesus commands us to go. He commands the church to go. Okay? Missions matter because we're called to spread the gospel. Mark 16:15 says this, "And then he told them, 'Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone.'" Go into where? All the world. Does he just go into other countries? No, go into all of the world and preach the good news to everyone. I want to show you these statistics. This actually caught me off guard. Like, I didn't, when I was researching this, I did not know that these stats were this high. But we have an unreached population. The total population is 8.17 billion people. The unreached population is 3.57 billion. That's almost half, 43%, 44%. I did not know. Did you guys know it was that high? That means the people who have never heard the gospel, never been introduced the gospel, never even heard the name of Jesus. Total people groups are 17,704, and a little bit less than half of those, 7,626, are unreached people groups. I did not know those stats were so high. I was like, whoa, we've got a lot of work to do. We really, really do. Half of the population hasn't been reached. I thought it was like maybe 3% or 4%. Honestly, I honestly did not know that. That's data that was derived from the Joshua Project and some other sources as well. But think about that. Think about that. How are you reaching the unreached people? What are you doing to reach the unreached people? You know, it doesn't mean you've got to go to another country. There's unreached people here. And we're seeing it a whole lot more. I'm seeing a lot more. Being a youth pastor, I'm seeing a lot of youth that have not heard the name of Jesus. So what are we doing to reach them? Why missions matter? Number three, to serve those in need. It's not only to reach those that haven't been reached, but to serve those in need. Isaiah 58:10 says, "Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon." So to serve those in need, financial need, serve those in financial need, serve those that have a lack of food and clean water, or maybe serve those that have lack of jobs. Maybe there's an area where there's a lack of jobs, a country where there's no jobs. Also to serve the orphans and the widows, which we're called to do, right? So missions matter because we're called to serve those in need. So I ask you again, what are you doing to serve those in need? I'm not trying to, well, I am trying to make you think, actually. What are we doing to serve those in need? Think about it. Because it would be a mission. The mission. Our mission is to serve those in need. Our mission is to reach the unreached. Our mission is to preach the gospel. Right? Our mission is to get those people that don't know Jesus to know him. That's what we're called to do. Great commission. So don't shy away from thinking that there's nothing for you to do here. Because I guarantee you, you just look around, there's plenty of ways that you can fulfill your mission or fulfill a mission that the Lord has for you. Why missions matter. Jesus commands us to go, to spread the gospel, and to serve those in need. Now, number two, how to discern your call. I'm calling this how to discern your call to missions. Every believer is called to participate in the Great Commission. Right? Right? All right. Every believer is called to participate in the Great Commission by spreading the gospel and making disciples. Oh, I didn't know this was up there. Here we go. Every believer is called to participate in the Great Commission by spreading the gospel, making disciples in some way or another, but not everyone is called by God to leave their home country and become full-time or even part-time missionaries in the traditional sense. I think we can agree with that, right? How many of you are called for full-time missions? How many of you are called for maybe part-time missions? How many of you are called to go on a mission trip? That's part-time, right? Have you recognized that calling? Have you discerned that calling? Yeah. Romans 10, 13 through 15 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." But how can they call on him? Listen to this. I love this verse. It's so common sense. But we don't, it just goes in one ear and out the other, I think. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have not heard about him? It keeps on going. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Listen, and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." Can I want to read that again. I want to read that again. I want you to really just, it's deep and it's so simple, but profound. So let me read it again and starting with 14 or 13. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have not heard about him? And how can they pray about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" That's deep, but simple. It is so simple. I this is probably one of the simplest scriptures that you can find. We cannot do anything unless we go. If you sit here and do nothing, then nobody hears anything. You get it? If you're simply sitting, let's say at home, or you're simply doing your day-to-day things, going to work, but you're not talking about Jesus, then nobody hears anything. Somebody's missing the word that they need. You know, somebody, your neighbor could very well need to hear the name of Jesus. Your neighbor could be unreached. Your neighbor may have never heard about the name of Jesus, but if nobody tells him, he never will. So are you called to do that? I would say yes. I think we're all called to do that. We're all called to share the gospel. We're all called to share about Jesus. So Western culture, we've become very, you guys know I love preaching about complacency, but we've become very complacent. And we think that other people are doing it, right? I think Emily's doing it, so therefore I don't have to do it, right? I think Paul's doing it, so I don't have to do it, right? No, that's not how it works. Because guess what? She's thinking the same thing. And he may be thinking the same thing. So who's doing it? Nobody. We've become very complacent. And we've got to break out of our complacency. We've got to break out of that comfort zone. You know, we've got to do what God is calling you to do, because I know God has a calling for each and every one of you. Do you hear him? Are you listening to him? Or are you so complacent that you're just okay? That you don't want to move because you're good. Life is good. I've got everything I need over here in America. I've got a beautiful house. I've got a beautiful family. I've got a car. I've got everything I need. What more? What more, God? Oh, there's so much more. There's so much more. So I call you guys, wake up. Get to work. Start serving the Lord. Start sharing the gospel. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your friends. Students, talk to your friends at school. Talk to your teachers. Teachers, talk to your kids at school. Why not? Share the gospel. If God had given you a heart for cross-cultural ministry and a heart for those in need, you don't have to put these, Joey, just the scriptures. If God had given you a heart for cross-cultural ministry and a heart for those in need, then you are likely called to be a missionary of some sort. So I asked you this earlier, but who has a heart for cross-cultural ministry? Yeah, several people. It's awesome. So you guys are likely to be called missionaries. I know you guys are going to be missionaries. You are missionaries. However, some of us are called to do other things for the Lord. Everybody has a unique calling. And guess what? The body of Christ cannot function without your calling. All right, we're all one body. We're all part of the same body. So Paul and Loring may be missionaries. You may be called to serve. You may be called to do something else. But the body of Christ cannot function without every part. Okay, so get active. Start, find out what you are called to do and do it. Don't let somebody else do it for you. Don't think that somebody else is going to do it for you, because it's probably not going to happen the way that the Lord wanted it to happen. So what stirs you? I ask you, what stirs you? I want you to dig deep into your heart, into your soul right now. What stirs you when you think about God, when you think about Jesus, when you think about his kingdom? What stirs you? What moves you? What is it? What empowers you to want to help? What is it? Some of you may really enjoy doing things on the computer, like doing media stuff on the computer. You can serve in that capacity. Some of you may really enjoy praying over people. Does that stir you? Serve in that capacity. That can be your calling. Some of you may stir when it may stir in you when you see tools. That's me. When I see tools, hammers and wrenches and stuff, that stirs me. So I may want to serve in what we do over here for Firehouse, building a home overseas. That stirs me. What stirs you? I can't answer that for you. But I think everybody here has that answer. Something stirs you. Otherwise, you're not alive. You know, something has to stir you. What is it? In what capacity can you be used in the kingdom of God? I can tell you right now, I'm not called to full-time missions. At least not yet. I don't know. I heard that. I don't know if I ever will be. I don't have that passion for full-time missions right now. I'm not called to full-time missions, but I know that I'm called to serve cross-culturally. You know, when the opportunity arises for a short term, I've got a family at home, so, you know, I want to be back within a week. Maybe 10 days, you know. But if the Lord calls me longer, then I will be obedient. But I'm not called to that. You know, I said earlier, tools, construction fuels my passion. I love building. I love working with my hands. That fuels my passion, right? So building homes stirs my, you'll see some pictures later. I'm pointing there thinking they're there, but they're not. But building homes for people in need, that stirs my heart. I absolutely love that ministry. Having the ability to build something for someone from the ground up, I mean, to me, that's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Jesus. Literally from the ground up, build a house in 3 days, that stirs me. I want to serve in every single opportunity that we have to build a house for somebody. Anytime that opportunity arises, I want to be there. So what's your passion? How can you use that passion for the kingdom of God? How can you use your passion for the kingdom of God? Number three. So some of us aren't called to full-time missions, but we're all called to support missions, right? Amen. Matthew 10, 40 through 42. Anyone who receives you receives me, and anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet as the one who speaks for God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. And if you receive righteous people because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like theirs. And if you even give a cup of water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. I mean, what's he talking about there? What's he talking about there? Supporting what? Supporting his people. Supporting the people who are called to do his work, right? So how do we support missions? Number one, most importantly, prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Anytime we send off a mission, Pastor Eric is off right now in Hong Kong. What do we need to be doing? Praying. If the Lord stirs that in your heart and he says, hey, Pastor Eric, I don't know, sometimes I get this stirring in my heart and it just jumps at me. I know I need to pray. But you should be praying every day for many different things. For how the Lord's going to use him, for his protection, for whatever, the gifts to flow, whatever it is, just pray. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for those that the Lord is sending out. The second way to support missions is through financial support. Money, because mission trips are not free. They are not free. You still got to pay for the airfare. You still got to pay for the room and board. You still got to pay for whatever else expenses, food and water and whatever else comes out of it, transportation. You've got to pay for it all. So a great way to support missionaries is through money, gifts, giving. That is very important because they wouldn't be able to do what they're doing if we are not providing for them. Think about that. How are we going to serve with all of our heart if we have in the back of our mind how we're going to pay for rent this month? Like, it's really, really hard. Or how are we going to get to this church because I don't have the money to pay for a taxi to get to that place? You know, we should send them off without any worries. And let's face it, money is a big worry. Okay? So let's send them off without any worries. And we have an incredible congregation here. Freedom is awesome, and we have been very blessed by everybody's support here. We do a lot of mission trips. Pastor Eric goes on several mission trips. We try to do one mission trip for Firehouse every 2 to 3 years, one mission trip for Powerhouse every 2 to 3 years. So we're doing what, maybe 2 mission trips a year, you know, on an active season. And the Lord has provided. Through you, the Lord has provided the means to get there. So thank you, Freedom, for all of your support. Another way to support missions is encouraging words. I think that is so important because sometimes when we're about to do something and when we're about to go out on missions and we don't have, say, the funds, we don't have the funds necessarily to be able to do it, but just hearing somebody say, hey, the Lord is going to provide, everything's going to be okay, that is so important. encourage your missionaries, encourage those that the Lord is sending out, to be able to hear somebody say, God is going to do great things through you. That's profound. To be able to hear somebody say, good job. Go. God is going to do amazing things. That is profound. So encourage the missionaries. Encourage those that are being sent out. And number four is listen. Listen to them. Listen to those that are going to be sent out. Guarantee you, they have a lot to say. Some of it could be worry. Some of it could be things that they're worrying about. Some of it could be incredible things that they've experienced. But have an ear to hear. Have an ear to hear, okay? Listen to what they are saying. It would be pretty sad if we came back from a mission trip building a house. We were just so excited and telling everybody about it, but nobody listened. Y'all could hear, but are you listening? Are you listening to what the Lord did over there? It's very important to listen. I have a message for our youth, and actually several scriptures for our youth. So youth, listen up. Now, I wanted to put this in here because as a youth, when I was a youth, not just a youth, but a young adult, being young, I was a little intimidated by the older generation, people that knew what they were doing, right? People that had it all together. So we think. But I wanted to share these words with all of the youth. And this is, you youth know this. One of my favorite verses is 1 Timothy 4:12. Our house knows that. You guys know that very well. I don't think I've shared it that much with this set of youth this time. I got to catch up. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "And don't be intimidated by those who are older than you. Simply be the example they need to see by being faithful and true in all that you do. Speak the truth and live a life of purity and authentic love as you remain strong in the faith. Don't let anyone look down upon you because of your youth." I think that was one of my struggles. I think that could still be a struggle. I know that's still a struggle for some of our youth today. But don't let anyone look down upon you because of your youth. You guys are called just like anybody else, just like all the adults. You guys are called by God to do good. God doesn't put an age on doing good, right? We are called, all of us, at any stage in life, to do good. So whatever the Lord is stirring in your hearts, firehouse, youth, teenagers, young adults, don't let anybody turn that down. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise, because nobody is greater than God. So if God is putting a word in your heart, then you better listen. You better follow. That verse got me through a lot growing up. I'm older now. You know, I'm 39, so I still live by that verse. Still like that verse. One of my favorites. All right, youth. Ecclesiastes 11:9 says, "Young people, it's wonderful to be young." Amen. I'm still young. "Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do." It's wonderful to be young. Right? Come on, everybody, raise your hand. Everybody, raise your hand. Is it wonderful to be young? All right, some of you are like, It's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every single minute of it, because you only get to be young for your whole life. I'm sorry. It's a mindset. Right, Andy? Right? Andy tells me all the time, how old do you feel? 18. There you go. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. It's wonderful to be young, guys. Jeremiah 4:1-8 says, Jeremiah 4:4-8 says, "The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. I appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. How many times do we say that? The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. That is some good stuff there. He knew you when? That means he had a plan for you before you were even born. That means every single one of you who has not fulfilled that plan, maybe because it's not the time, there is a plan for you. Because he gave you a plan before you were even formed in your mother's womb. There is a plan for each and every one of your lives. Youth, hold on. All of you, hold on. Be patient. If that plan hasn't come yet, it will come. Follow the Lord. Let him lead you, and he will give you what you're asking for. Second Timothy 2:22 in the Passion says this, run as fast as you can from all the ambitions and lusts of youth and chase after all that is pure. Whatever builds up your faith and deepens your love must become your holy pursuit. And live in peace with all those who worship our Lord Jesus with pure hearts. Does it say to run slowly there? No, run as fast as you can. You don't want to miss out on what God has for you. Run as fast as you can. As fast as you can from the temptations of this world. Youth, do not get caught up by what this world has to offer to you, because it is garbage. All right? It is useless. It serves no purpose. Okay? It serves no purpose. Run after God and what God has for you. If you guys are called to missions, if you guys are called to be a pastor, if you guys are called to serve in whatever capacity, run towards that, not towards this world. I guarantee you, you will be 100% more fulfilled running towards God's plan than you are towards the plan that the enemy has for you. Run towards God. And Master Shifu, very wise guy. Who said that? Master Shifu said, if you only do what you can do, you will never be more than what you are now. I don't know, that's pretty wise. If you only do what you can do, only do what you can do, because you're working under your, I'm elaborating, this is not. But if you only do what you can do under your own power, and not the Lord, you will never be more than what you are right now. Think about it. It's not under your power, but it's under the power of God. It's under God's aid and God's help. Okay? So rely on God's power. I had to throw that in there because I liked it. All right. So three things. We're all called to support missions. Right? And just a quick review. We're all called to support missions. Some of us are called to be missionaries abroad, cross-culturally. Some of us are called to do short-term missions. Some of us are called to do something else, but we're all called to do something, okay? We're all called to be something and serve in the kingdom of God in one capacity or another. So figure out what that is. You know, take the time this week. Don't let this message, don't let any message, I urge you, don't let any message be just for Sunday, okay? Don't let any message just, you're receiving so much here right now, and then as soon as you walk out of those doors, just another day. No, listen to these words. Listen to what the Lord is giving you, and let this soak in your heart throughout the week, okay? So figure out what God is calling you to do this week. Ask the Lord. Get down on your knees, pray, and just ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to serve you, Jesus? How can I be a blessing to your kingdom? Okay, we're all called to do something. All right, don't be complacent. Don't sit around. We are all called to do something. It doesn't matter how old you are. And youth, like I said, it doesn't matter how old you are. We got some youth in here that have some incredible plans. I mean, some really big plans. And God is going to use them in mighty, mighty ways. So, in closing, our youth are making a difference in this world. And I want to share that with you guys. So we're going to see some pictures right now of some of the things that our youth have done. Now they're older. Now they're powerhouse age. But this is our first Homes of Hope build in DR. Thank you, Joey, in the DR. And we built this house for that family. Go back. We built this house for that family right in the middle in the blue shirts. So that's Homes of Hope. This is our second build in Costa Rica. Thank you, Joey. And this was actually kind of a remodel build. We did some remodeling, some demolition, and then rebuilding it. The roof is sturdy, right? Look at that. We had, 15 people on that roof. We did good. This is another build we did in El Salvador. Nope. Where? Oh, this is the Philippines. That's right. This is the Philippines. We funded this one, right? Yeah, we funded this build. So we have that family there that received a blessing because of your giving. This is the powerhouse build that we did in El Salvador a couple years ago. And that family is right there, kind of in front of me, between Pastor. That's a multi-generational family that lived in those two houses there. We built them a whole new structure so that way the families can be separate and have their own space. And yep, right off the edge of a cliff that actually used to be a landfill where their house currently is. It's not a landfill anymore, but there was a lot of garbage. There's a lot of things in there. We had to pack the wall because the sand was receding, the dirt was receding, so we had to actually build it up. That was a fun build. That was our first concrete build. So concrete block, cinder block. This is the other house that we funded in El Salvador, a couple miles down. Same thing, concrete build. We funded this house. We were actually going to try to knock both of them out at the same time, but we just didn't have enough time. And this one was done by in-house, not through YWAM, not through Homes of Hope. We actually did this in-house with a local pastor over there. This was a house on top, kind of an apartment on top, and then a youth center on the bottom in El Salvador. This was the next build we did a couple years ago, 2 years ago, with Firehouse. So that was also a really fun build. And then that's the last one. Now, come July, we're doing another build in Mexico, in Baja, Mexico. And that's going to be through YWAM. Or we don't know which family yet, but it's going to be through YWAM. And that's what this Taco Sunday is supporting. So as you can see, the youth have been, Firehouse, Freedom Youth have been very active in missions, right? I mean, we've built some amazing structures for some amazing people. The Lord has, and it's not just building, guys. We're not just there for 3 days building. We're there for a week. We build for 3 days, and then we'll go off and minister to the people, play with the kids. We've done radio services. We've done tent services. We've done a bunch of different things. So it's not just a build. There's a lot more that goes into it. So that is what you guys are supporting. Thank you guys so much for that. And God is good. I mean, God is really doing some incredible stuff in Freedom. We're a small church, but we're doing some big things, right? Right? Amen.